Yes.
It's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Coffee Break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And we really want to ask you tonight. We had some trouble last week with the recording software and, you know, after all the updates and that kind of thing. So let us know if there is any problem while you are listening, you cannot hear, or there is a funny sound. Please let us know. But otherwise, everything looks like it is good and well working our site. So welcome to the Coffee Break, and it is good to have you with us. And again, like I said, we are good to, you know, enjoying ourselves to be back, and it is so great to be with you. Yusuf, welcome to you as well on the Coffee Break. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and like Aaliyah said, I hope that the sound is working all good and that it's clear. It's so good to be back on the Coffee Break. I think the last time that we were on the Coffee Break, Aaliyah, was just before Shavuot, or Sukkot, actually. Not Shavuot, Sukkot.
Shavuot was long ago. Wow, where have you been?
Man, it feels so, so long ago. But you know, praise Yahweh, we're able to be back again, and we fixed all the issues that we had. And we've also been able to have a bit of a break, but also been busy with some other ministry things that Yahweh has been placing in front of us. And you know, Aaliyah, I am so excited because I know that you also are so excited, and that finally your new book has actually been released. And it's a blessing. It's a baby, as I would put it, that has been released or been given, kind of like a birthing process that has taken place. And I know that many of you that are listening, we put out an email and we did let you all know that the new book is out. And if you would like to get it, it's on the website. You can find, there's a bookstore link at the top, and you can order your copy straight from there. But Aaliyah, I wanted to actually ask you to just share with us a little bit about the book. Share with us a little bit about, you know, the heart of the book, what it's about. I don't think that everybody always understands, because you've written two previous books that were biblical fiction novels, and this is something totally different. This is something that the Father has led you in a totally different direction, and I'm excited for it, because I think that it focuses on different, you know, a different group of people. And I want you just to share with us a little bit about the book.
Well, my previous two books were historical fiction, which means basically based on truth but told in a story format. And so the reality of this is that this third book, Bold Bible Girls, is really about bringing to life the forgotten, some of them are forgotten and lesser known, girls, as I put it, of the Bible. It's an illustrated children's book, and which is fun because illustrations are pictures. So you have really cool pictures, and then obviously tell the story of these girls, and then go into devotional sections. I've done so many interviews this week about the book that I feel that my brain is now completely fried. But you know what? It's been so great, because doing a children's book is very different from doing an adult's book, because children understand life in a very different way. And so it's very exciting and very otherworldly to create a children's book. But again, like with Treasured Inheritance Ministry, we've been teaching so many things over such a long period of time that the Father really said to me to take a lot of the teachings and the things that I've done for adults about girls in the Bible, women in the Bible, and to, you know, put them into a book for children, because our young girls need really good, solid biblical role models. And that's really at the heart of this book as well, is that we have to have biblical role models. I see it now, and I see it every single month and every single week, that the world is pushing this idea of where do we get our role models from. And oftentimes, you know, children are taught to look up to other women who maybe are in politics, maybe they're celebrities, and those are seen as your role model, that's your example. And those are not godly women. They're doing horrible things. They stick to horrible values or morals, if they have any, they're doing horrible things that we wouldn't want our children growing up doing. So we really need to go into the Bible and really look at the godly women that were in the Bible and teach their examples to our daughters. And that's so important because a lot of the women in the Bible were strong and brave, and we should share those stories with our girls.
Amen. So give us some examples of just maybe one or two examples of these women that are featured in this specific book. Just maybe one or two.
Well, like I said, lesser known woman in the Bible. So I speak about Zelophehad's daughters. Do you know who they are?
I have no idea.
Well, that's a good thing, you see, because that's also what I wanted to do with this book, was to really teach people something. And a lot of the parents have told me that they themselves have learned so much through reading these stories to their daughters, which is really exciting. So Zelophehad's daughters, we know, are mentioned in the book of Numbers, and they were the ones that asked Moses to change the law of inheritance. Remember, Yahweh gave the law, and then only sons could inherit. But these five girls, their father had died in the wilderness, and they went over and they said to Moses, you know what, we feel that we should get his inheritance. And Yahweh changed the law for them. You know, that is so exciting to me, because what if Yahweh is waiting for us to use our voices to stand up for something that is really important? And because they stood up and they said, obviously they were thinking about maybe their own family, they stood up and said, you know, our father died, but we feel that we as his daughters should get this property. And they got it. Yahweh said yes. You know, it's almost as though Yahweh was just waiting for someone to ask him to change the Torah. And he changed Torah for them. And it changed everything, because it meant that girls in ancient Israel could inherit property. And that is a big deal, because in the ancient world, in the ancient Near Eastern world, girls didn't inherit property. So Yahweh's law was so incredible, as that it gave women that freedom. And then that's just one example from the book. Another example from the book would really be someone that I guess maybe is lesser known, but we do sometimes talk about it, is Junia, who was mentioned in Romans 16. She was an apostle, and she was in prison with Paul, and she was really persecuted for her faith and for spreading the gospel, as we would say. She told a lot of people about Yeshua, about him as the Messiah, and she was a single woman. Imagine, single, alone in a Roman jail cell, beaten, chained to the wall for spreading the gospel. We think of that only as maybe what the apostle suffered, but there were women that suffered in that way as well. And so I really bring her story into the book to really encourage young girls to think, maybe you called to be a missionary, maybe you called to spread the gospel, or maybe you just called to pray for people who are persecuted in that same way. And then also I go into the thing with, I connect the persecuted people also then obviously to Jania's story. And so that's really Bold Bible Girls. That's really the book that you asked me about. And it's so exciting. It's obviously only been out about 2 weeks, and it is really, really exciting, because people are really interacting with the book and are really saying how much they are growing and learning. Even today I had a testimony, someone sharing and saying that they were reading it to someone else's daughter, and that girl started crying because she heard about these stories of these girls and could connect with it. And so that's really powerful and exciting. And so I think that Bold Bible Girls was really something that Yahweh really gave me. I'm so excited about what it can do and what it can achieve, and excited for people to read it.
Amen. So just to recap again, for those of you that have joined us, we're talking this evening just a little bit before we start the coffee break about Leah's new book. And it's a book for girls, young girls, an illustrated book. And I wanted to ask something too. You said that there is kind of work parts in the book. So it's a book where they can read about the stories of these Bold Bible Girls, and then there's interaction that can be taken place by the parents with the children. That's awesome. And the illustrations, just for those of you that are listening, it is great. Those illustrations that the guy did are wonderful. So if you'd like to get a copy, you can find it on our website. There's a place called Bookstore. You can go there and click on it, and you can order yourself your own copy. So brothers and sisters, this evening, like I said, I'm so pleased and happy that we can be back with you again. I'd like us to just pray, Leah, and I'd like us to just really speak this evening about what is on our heart on this coffee break. Father, we just want to thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, that we can be back again on the coffee break. Father, that you make things all possible. Father, we thank you that you are King and that you are Daddy. And Father, we want to pray in the name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, this evening that you will just be with us. Father, that your word will go out, that your spirit, Father, will minister to our hearts. And Father, I pray that every single person that will listen to the coffee break and the playback, Father, that you will richly, richly bless them. We thank you, Father, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, for your truth, and we thank you for your love, and we bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know what, Joseph? It's been such a hectic week, I would say, and I know that a lot. We are seeing, as the believers in Messiah Yeshua, we are seeing things happening around the world. We are seeing things changing. We are seeing a lot of wickedness before our eyes, and sometimes it can get very tough to behold, you know, to see how quickly things can change. We know our hope is always in Messiah Yeshua. We know that he is the King. We know that he is the Savior. And I guess that is a lot of times, you know, how people comfort themselves. It is a truth, you know, Yeshua is the Messiah. But we also need to be in this place where we recognize that things are unfolding before our eyes that are also prophetic. And we shouldn't ignore it. We shouldn't ignore the fact that we are seeing, you know, the enemy well at work in, you know, different places. But today, just as an encouragement, I was reading something and then saw a guy that I know that ministers out in Thailand. Now, one of the things that I did not know about Thailand until I interviewed someone 3 weeks ago about what is happening in Thailand is that only 1% of the entire population of Thailand believe in Yeshua. 1%. Now, South Africans holiday in Thailand like crazy because firstly, it's, you know, it's sort of close. It's pretty cheap and it's very beautiful. Now, South Africans are always holidaying in China and, you know, Thailand and these kind of places. But we don't realize that where we go on holiday, you and I have never been there, but where most South Africans go on holiday, they don't believe in Messiah Yeshua. Only 1% of their population. But the guy that I know, you know, posted a video today and he shared it and he said that there is a great awakening in Thailand right now that is happening to Messiah Yeshua. People are getting saved by the hundreds. Mass baptism took place just a few weeks ago where there was, you know, I think it was over 1,000 or 2,000 people that were baptized in a single day. You know, they needed 20 ministers in a 2-hour service to baptize so many people. People just kept on coming. People just kept on wanting to profess Yeshua. And these were true and real baptisms that took place and true and real confessions of faith. So though we are looking at the world and we see what I would like to say, first world countries or developed nations falling into deep pits of wickedness and darkness with regards to their leadership choices, with regards to all sorts of things that they're doing, we are seeing Yahweh move among unreached people groups. And that to me is exciting. That to me is encouraging because we know that that is where Yahweh needs to be working and moving. Because in that window where we have Thailand and Malaysia and China and all of those places, they are part of the 1040 window. They are part of the place where the gospel isn't reaching. But Yahweh is doing something. And people are being awakened to Messiah Yeshua in these countries, and that excites me. So maybe we can always turn our focus as believers and say, you know what, Messiah Yeshua, yes, he is Savior, and yes, he is still at work. Nothing's catching him off guard. Whatever's happening, we are seeing biblical prophecy begin to unfold, and we are seeing a lot of things taking place. And Yosef, it is very, very difficult, though, to see a lot of things that we see. And we need to pray for steadfastness for our hearts and for, you know, each other. We need to pray for each other because we will see wickedness increase. We will see them call, you know, good evil and evil good. And we will see all these things take place. So let us continue to pray, but also to be encouraged that Yahweh is moving and working where he needs to be. You know, sometimes I think that first world countries, we've all taken a lot for granted, especially the religious freedom that we have and the faith that we have in Messiah Yeshua. But yet Yahweh is still moving and he needs to move and he wants to move in other places of the world. And maybe we can just really start praying to that as well.
Amen. You know, Leah, you mentioned the scripture and I went and read this scripture. You know, the scriptures tell us over and over and over that the days before Yeshua's return, that the earth is going to be filled with violence, that the earth is going to be dark, that there's going to be all these things happening. But as you said, even though all these things will be taking place, Yahweh has prepared those who are his and he's continuing continuing to prepare those that are his. And like you say, not only in Thailand and China and places, but right around the globe, there is this great awakening to the truth and the reality of who Messiah Yeshua is. It's no longer just a message that is preached, you know, get saved, like the church has preached for generations. It's a deeper, more intimate understanding that you have to understand the intricacies of Yahweh. And not only that, but understanding his instructions, his guidelines, and a way of life so that you can live a separated life. Because there is, and it's so true, Leah, there is almost no distinction anymore between what is good and what is evil. There's almost no distinction anymore between, you know, this is right and this is wrong. Everything that seems right in everybody's eyes, whatever they deem to be right in their way or their eyes, that's how it is. And the scriptures tell us that. It says that there will come a time where they will do these things, and that they will hate what is good. And that's why, you know, we were speaking just this week. That's why when the final remnant finally rises up and goes forth and proclaims the word of Yahweh, they are going to have to do it in the power of Yahweh's spirit, because people are not going to want to change. People are going to be so believing that what they believe is right, and that we who come and say to them, listen, X, Y, and Z according to Yahweh's word is wrong. Stealing, you know, immorality and all these things is wrong. There is no line anymore in the world. People don't see that. And you know, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says this. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light. And that is happening right now. And it's not only happening in South Africa, it's happening around the globe, where people are putting darkness for light and light for darkness, and they're swapping it around. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to the mighty to drink wine and brave men to mix strong drink, who declare right the wrong for a bribe, and the righteous of the it says this, and the righteousness of the righteous they turn aside from him. It's almost as if what the scripture is trying to tell us is that wickedness is rampant, and people don't see the need to change anymore. They just see, it's almost as if people want to go further and further into a pit of immorality. And that is why, brothers and sisters, now more than ever, we need to hold tight to the promises that Yahweh has given us. We need to hold tight to the word of Yahweh. We need to hold tight to his commandments, because they are the way that leads us into that path of life. It is the only thing that separates us from the world is the fact that we love Yahweh with all our heart, mind, and soul. But the commandments of Yahweh is what shows us what is right and what is wrong. And if the problem today, and I remember there was a movie that I once watched about, it was a Christian movie about a guy that went, you know, from he was back in time when Christianity was in the beginning parts of Christianity. We were the fathers of the church, fathers and that were. And he goes forward into time to see what's going on. And he sees how bad the world is. And he realizes that what has happened is that they are teaching the morals without the moral giver. And you cannot tell somebody, hey, you know what, to steal is wrong. Like the world says, oh, don't steal. But they don't tell you why stealing is wrong. Because the Bible says, because Yahweh said that you shall not steal, because Yahweh said that you shall not kill. These are the things that is missing in the world today. Because we have removed Yahweh from everything. We don't want to have Yahweh, but we want to have some kind of law. But that law is not found or based upon Yahweh's truth. That's why, Eliah, in this time and the season that we find ourselves in, Yahweh has to raise up men and women of great faith, people who will not be moved by the opinions of men, because the opinions of men today are so strong. People's opinions on Facebook, people's opinions on social media, people's opinions out there in the world, it's their way or no way. And it's kind of, you cannot come with any form of godliness or God of reverence for Yahweh, because it just gets chopped down wherever you go. So we have to be people of faith, and we have to be people who know our Elohim and know who we are in him, if we're going to ever make any difference and come and make any change in this world that we are in.
It's so true what you're saying. And I think that essentially what also sets us apart is the fact that the commandments of Yahweh set us apart. Amen. And that's the whole thing. I think that is going to be the deciding factor as well, because a lot of times people say, well, they believe in, you know, Yeshua, but then they just stuck on this law, you know, versus grace. And then they say, well, we don't need this law. We need just to love, you know, the law of love. That's all. So we embrace everything. We embrace immorality. We embrace, you know, what Yahweh says is wrong. And we just do that because we got to love people. But that's not Yahweh's word and that's not Yahweh's truth. We know that we have to be steadfast on his commandments. And you know what else, Yosef? I truly believe that one of the things that Yahweh really laid on my heart tonight was Abraham and the way that he walked with Yahweh. Because Abraham was so used to a lifestyle of Yahweh just consistently appearing to him. Abraham would be, you know, just sitting in his tent and Abraham would be there and everything's okay. And Yahweh would just appear to him.
Oh, I wish that would happen to me today.
Or Abraham would be sleeping and he would dream a dream. Or Abraham would be, I don't know, doing what, and he would have some vision. No matter what Abraham was doing, you know, Yahweh was appearing to him. And that was Abraham's world. He was used to that world. He was used to that life. Even though we see the faults of Abraham and the imperfections in his nature and the excuses he made or the lies he told or whatever. Besides all that, we see Yahweh consistently sharing himself with Abraham. And they have this relationship where they communicate with each other. Yahweh tells Abraham things and then Abraham asks him, can't you do this? Or what about this? Especially when we see Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's having this conversation with Yahweh. And there's another essence to this though. It's that Yahweh felt comfortable in Abraham's presence. And that has got to make us stop and think, does Yahweh feel comfortable in my presence? Because that is the reality. Yes, he's God, but he still doesn't want to dwell with people that are unholy, that are profane. Amen. He doesn't want to dwell with people that don't believe in having an intimate relationship with him. Abraham, yes, was comfortable in a world where Yahweh was always present and always revealing himself. But Yahweh was comfortable with always revealing himself to Abraham. And it was only Abraham that he was doing that with at that time. You know, throughout Genesis, we see Yahweh specifically revealing himself to one individual almost at a time until eventually he does reveal himself to more than one. But it's always someone like a Noah. And then we have an Abraham. Then we have this Isaac. And then we have this Jacob, you know. We have these people that Yahweh just has set apart and he reveals himself to them. But also because I believe that Yahweh saw their heart. Yahweh saw that their heart was a heart that desired intimacy. Abraham consistently built altars to Yahweh. No matter where he goes, if you read about his life, it says he built this altar and he called on the name of El Olam, you know, the God that is eternal, the everlasting God. You know, Abraham builds this altar and calls in the name of Yahweh. So as he goes, he names Yahweh different things because Yahweh's revealed himself as those things. So when Abraham takes Isaac up the mountain and we know what happens in that story, you know, then Abraham's supposed to sacrifice his son. He doesn't because the angel of Yahweh, who is Yeshua, says no. We know that then Abraham calls Yahweh the God who provides. So as he walks with Yahweh, he learns different characteristics of Yahweh. And that can only come through intimacy with the Father. We can only know different parts of another person if we spend enough time to get to know them. I can only know different parts of your nature and character as I learn to get to know you. And that takes time and that takes intimacy with someone else.
You know, Lee, it's interesting that you say that because I think that that's the problem that we have today with believers. People get saved and they get to know Yeshua as Yeshua, my Redeemer, or Yeshua, my Savior. And as they go on in their walk with the Father, they stay at that place of Yeshua, my Savior. And Yeshua is our Savior, but he's also our Redeemer. He's also our you know, like you said, Yahweh and Yeshua has, they've come at different points in time. Yahweh came to Abraham and revealed himself to Abraham in different ways. And in our relationship with Yeshua, as we walk with him, we should begin to know him as our provider. We should begin to know him as the one that looks after us. We should get to know him as our deliverer. We should get to know him as many different things because our relationship is changing with him. And that's what he wants to do. He, you know, that's exactly what he did with Israel too. He revealed, and we've said this, he revealed himself to Israel as this God who delivered them out of Egypt. And then he began to reveal himself to them in different ways. And as he did that, he began to show them who they were in him so that they could go and be a light to the nations. That was the aim from the very beginning. And that's, it's the same process that we are all on. But unfortunately, so many people, as Paul says, remain babies in their faith, and they're always staying at that revelation of Yeshua only as their savior. So every time that they're living, or every time that something happens, or every time that they have a struggle, they can't get to the next point where they see Yeshua is my deliverer. They go back to Yeshua is my savior, and they're always there in the front. They're always there in the front getting prayed for. They're never receiving that freedom and that deliverance and becoming the sons and daughters that they're supposed to be, because it's that relationship status hasn't changed. We're still children, and Yahweh doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to know him in a different way. I don't want to just know my dad as I knew him when I was a child. I want to know my dad as I grow older and know the character of my father, how he loved my mother, how he loved me, how he did things in his life. I want to know my dad in that way. I don't want to just be stuck with one picture.
You know what's interesting, Yusuf? You say that. I remember my mom a couple of years ago saying something that I found quite profound and quite beautiful, if I can put it that way, or sweet. That she said to somebody, and I happened to be sitting in the company at the time, she said, you know what? The great thing about growing older and your children also growing older with you is that you become friends, is that your child becomes your friend. Mm-hmm. And you know what, to some people that would probably sound weird, but it really is so. And it made me reflect on Abraham and Yahweh, because what does Yahweh say of Abraham? Mm-hmm. He's the only person in the Bible that was called, when Yahweh speaks about him, he says, Abraham, my friend. Mm-hmm. And that is because there's a maturing process. My mom and I could only become friends, enjoy going to the mall together, talking about deep things together, when I became an adult. When I was a child, my mom had to parent me. She had to help me. She had to teach me. She had to guide me. She had to discipline me. She had to sort me out. You know, she had to be there when my heart was broken. And she had to be there in my joyful times, or, you know, when you do sports or when you win an award. Your mom is there for you. Your parents are there for you, and they're spurring you on, and they supporting you, you know, but they're parenting you. You're a child. But then when you become an adult, you get married, maybe you have your own children, that relationship changes. You become friends because you're mature enough to have an adult conversation with your parents. And now you're mature enough to understand what they went through when you were a child. So the truth is that Abraham walked with Yahweh. And that's the key. Noah walked with Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Enoch walked with Yahweh. Abraham walked with Yahweh. And as we walk with Yahweh, and I believe that this sounds so simple tonight. It sounds like we're just talking about some simple something that we find in the Bible, but it's not simple at all. Walking with Yahweh is not simple. And walking with Yahweh is essential, Yusuf, to our generation right now. If we are not walking with Yahweh right now, I don't know what's going to happen, because we are watching the world change before our eyes. You know, if we just consider something like, I didn't want to mention on the coffee break, but I'm going to have to, the U.S. elections. I know people that have said, oh, God has answered our prayers by giving us this Biden man. And I'm like, what about the policies? What about the policies of abortion? What about all these things that go against the word of Yahweh, but yet you believe Yahweh is giving you someone that believes in transgressing the word? I'm not saying that the opposition was any better. I'm not saying, I'm not American. I didn't have to vote. But we're watching people who are calling good evil and evil good, and believing Yahweh is giving them that. So we have to be so careful, because we need to know truth from error. People are coming up and saying, this is Yahweh's will. But this cannot be Yahweh's will if it transgresses his word. So that's why we've got to walk with Yahweh. Abraham's day was also dark. You know, Abraham was one guy. Him and his wife, actually, were called by Yahweh to be two people who were shining light in that generation. And so we've got to be the people that walk with Yahweh in that intimacy. And you know what? I'm going to say this last thing, and then we're going to go to a song. The word that Yahweh uses, it says, you know, Abraham is my friend, is a word that we talk about often. You know, there's songs that say, you know, I'm a friend of God, and there's all these songs that say, I'm a friend of Yahweh. I think we need to be careful about saying if we are his friend or not, because he just gets to decide that. But the word there for friend of God actually means lover of God. Mm. That is the original Hebrew word. So what Yahweh is really saying is not lover as what we think, like, oh, you know, physical love. That's not it. Abraham loved who Yahweh was, who Yahweh consistently revealed himself to be. There was never, you know, a part of Yahweh that Abraham didn't want or desire. Abraham was always ready and available and open to whenever Yahweh appeared. Abraham didn't say, sorry, oh no, wait, I've actually just got to do this thing first and then I'll get back to you. Can you just wait here? You know, when the angels appear, Abraham's not sitting there going like, just hold on, I need to just take care. My servants are just busy with something. I need to just sort this out quickly. I'll be with you guys now. He was like, what? He jumps up, he does all these things. He's, you know, we know that he had so many servants and he had so many people that could have killed the calf and set the table, but Abraham chose to do that all himself. Why? Because he always wanted to entertain Yahweh. His heart, can you imagine? Abraham must have had a really big heart. He was walking around with his big heart going, I want to entertain your presence, Yahweh. I want to entertain you. Let's have a conversation. Yahweh, when are you going to reveal yourself to me? I'm going to go sleep now. What about a dream? What about a vision? What about a test? What about something? He was always open to who Yahweh wanted to reveal himself to be to him. And that is a challenge to us. That's what it takes to walk with Yahweh, to consistently be opening, you know, open to when Yahweh is going to disrupt things in your day or in your life, just so that you can be with him.
You know, Leah, you said something about, you know, the parenting and about being, you know, being a friend of Yahweh. And it's important to understand that, you know, even when you are a friend of your parents, you still have that respect between yourself and your parent. And that's what we've spoken about so often, about, you know, the Abrahamic covenant, that it is the covenant of servanthood, and that your salvation experience and what you go through, the blood and Yeshua's sacrifice, is the fact that Yahweh brings us into the family and we become servants. We become servants and we're serving in his kingdom. And as we mature and as we grow, we become more and more transformed into his image. And the aim, like you said, is to become a friend of Yahweh's, one who represents him, one who is a kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for, a ambassador of his kingdom. But we never ever stop being a servant. We never ever stop serving one another. And that's why it's important, because, you know, something that it says, that word, like you said, it's about being a lover. But the Bible tells us so clearly that to love Yahweh is to keep his commandments. So Abraham kept his commandments, and it was a credit to him as righteousness. And it was given to him so that he could be the person that Yahweh looked upon. And in that generation, just like Noah, just like Enoch, just like Moses, just like the men and women before that walked with Yahweh, they were, it says very clearly about Noah himself, that Noah was honored to be a proclaimer of righteousness, and he was given that status, and he was a person of righteousness in that time. So we need to understand that, and you know, this is important, because these people were singled out. They were single people that Yahweh was using. In this generation, there is more than one Noah. There is more than one Enoch. There is more than one person that is seeking Yahweh for righteousness. And when those people come together and they are walking in obedience of Yahweh and serving one another and serving Yahweh, there is going to be a tremendous flow of Yahweh's power and presence through their lives. And this world is going to be shaken. Even though it looks and continues to look so dark, there is going to be such a display and such a mighty outpouring of Yahweh's truth like we've never seen before. But we need to, like you say, be in step with our King. And I think, Leah, that because of liberalism, because of how the world is pushing all this junk out, people who are not in an intimate relationship with Yahweh are being tossed around by every wind of doctrine and saying that love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, it does. But if we love and we don't have Yahweh's commandments and his truth and his Torah, we are loving in an incorrect way, because we're loving without any boundaries. We're loving without any, this will happen if you don't do what's right. We just cover everything over instead of saying, listen, you need to change. Yahweh's justice and his love go hand in hand. And we have to understand that. So if we love people, then we also need to love Yahweh's justice and Yahweh's truth and everything that goes with that.
You know, Yosef, we haven't even gone to a song this evening. So let's go to one right now. This is Famous Four. Enjoy the song, and we will see you when we get back.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. I believe in you, God, I believe in you. Release your love inside of me. Your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us, over and over. All things are possible in you. God of exceeding, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable. All things are possible in you. Make way through the over and over.
You know, Yosef, it's interesting to be talking about Abraham, and it's interesting to be reflecting on how he really walked with Yahweh and just the way that Yahweh was consistently revealing himself to Abraham. And one of the things that I actually want to share this evening, I said I wasn't going to share this evening. I was reading the word, you know, and just really reflecting on the word before the coffee break and spending some time, you know, just reading a bit about Abraham. And I was sharing something with Yosef, and Yosef was laughing, and he was saying, this is so interesting. And I said, no, I'm not sharing this on the coffee break this evening because it was just some deep stuff. And he was like, you're going to share it on the coffee break. I know you're going to share it on the coffee break.
I think that what people don't always understand is sometimes you sit and you talk and you get understanding of Yahweh's word. And then you think, well, this is good for a teaching, or this is maybe good for the coffee break. And I think sometimes that's what happens with us. We sit and we get all this understanding.
Just think, this is just good for me. Yeah, this is just what I need, you know. Right. And then you think, well, this is personal. I'm a lot like that. Whenever I read the word, I'm most of the time thinking this is personal revelation, you know. It's only 5% of stuff gets shared. But you know what? This, I know that Yahweh is just prompting me to share, so I'm going to share this with you. You know what? In Genesis 22, we know that Yahweh told Abraham to go and sacrifice his only son and to take him up the mountain and to sacrifice him. And I'm not going to go into everything about this, but we know the story. We know it really well. We learn about it. And there's this interesting reality where, you know, Abraham takes Isaac and they go up the mountain. And it says actually in Genesis 22 and verse 4, it says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, the place where he was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Now, the first thing Yosef said to me was, oh, wow, Abraham lied to the servants. And I realized there that what Yahweh was actually saying to me was that maybe Abraham wasn't lying. We see it like that. I mean, I saw it like that for many years. But what if the whole reality that what's happening here is this is not just a test of will Abraham go and take Isaac up the mountain? But isn't this maybe Abraham's ultimate faith? Because the truth of the matter is in Genesis 17, which is five chapters before this, and also many years before this, a lot many years, because it's, you know, estimated that Isaac was probably about 30 or 40 years old when he went up the mountain with his father. You know, Yahweh appeared in Genesis 17 to Abraham and actually said to him, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. That's crazy, right? And it says, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. Now, this is the reality where now Abraham is taking his son up the mountain and Yahweh is asking him to sacrifice the son. But Abraham knew what Yahweh had promised him in the past. And I truly believe that Abraham was saying, we will come back to you, not because he was lying or he was trying to get them to stay behind or he was nervous or scared, but because maybe, just maybe in his heart at that moment or at this time when they were traveling, it took them 4 days to get to this place, he allowed his mind to reflect on the promises of Yahweh. The promise of Yahweh was you will have a son and his descendants will have that everlasting covenant established with them. Isaac wasn't even married. He didn't even, you know, have children. He didn't have descendants yet. So I truly believe that Abraham allowed the promises of the past to inform his present because he knew that Yahweh wanted to give him a gift in the future. And that was descendants through his son Isaac, whom he loved so much. Because even when he, you know, goes up the mountain with Isaac and Isaac asks him, you know, father, there's fire here, there's wood here, everything is here. Where is the lamb? And we know that Abraham answers and says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. I truly believe in that moment that Abraham still had faith that Yahweh could provide that lamb, would provide it, and that both him and his son, Isaac, would return to the servants and they would go home. And this is something really deep. It's, again, sounds very simple, but we are at a place in our lives, all of us sometimes, where we allow our present reality to influence our feelings, our thoughts, and the direction of our lives. We allow the disappointments of maybe last month or this year, the brokenness, the maybe broken dreams, the unfulfilled promises, the disappointments to really, really affect us on so many levels that it seems that we are taking an Isaac and we are having to lay an Isaac down at the altar and that we're going to watch all of the things just burn up. But the truth is, the things that we love, the things that has Yahweh has given us, the blessings that he has bestowed on us, you know, the promises that he has made to us, we need to hold on to those things. Mm-hmm. Because what Yahweh has declared in the past, as he declared to Abraham years, decades before this moment, was still the reality that Yahweh was going to fulfill in Abraham and Isaac's life. Even though Abraham was in a moment where he was asking to sacrifice and lay absolutely everything down, Yahweh had still made a promise. So sometimes our reality and where we sit at seems so different from what Yahweh has promised. And I know a lot of people have felt that way this year.
That's true.
I know so many people right now that are dealing with disappointments, prophetic words or, you know, promises from Yahweh that were given 10 years ago, 1 year ago, 3 years ago. And the disappointment has made them angry. The disappointments have made them bitter, has made them bad in their relationships, have made them not want to get up in the morning, have caused so many pains and problems. And that's okay, we're all human. But the greatest lesson that we can learn is that even though Abraham was asked to do a monumental thing, he still believed in the promises of Yahweh. If Yahweh has given you a promise for your life, a promise for your child, promise for your son, your daughter, promise for your marriage, promise for your wife or your husband, your grandfather, your parents, whatever that may be. You know, Yosef, when I was 17 years old, Yahweh promised me that my parents would get saved. That day I have not yet seen, but I believe it with all my heart that they will be saved before they leave this earth. And I will forever hold on to that promise. And we have to hold on to the promises that Yahweh gives us so tight, not so that we can be people that even though we are temporarily maybe in bad places or not seeing those promises being fulfilled, let us know that the promise of the past is what's informing our future, not our present moment. Our present moment is not informing it. Our promises of Yahweh will inform what is going to happen in our lives. So take courage. If that word is for you tonight, then you receive that word and you take it into your heart and into your life. Because Yahweh is not done. He's not done. No matter what you've had to sacrifice, no matter if you are waiting and praying for a loved one to get saved, if you're waiting and praying for someone you care about to repent, whatever Yahweh has promised you, hold on to that because He is going to do it. And just have the faith of Abraham. That's a challenge for all of us, to have faith and to keep going even when it looks like we just actually don't know what's going to happen in this moment. Because I'm sure there were maybe moments, minutes, or maybe a few where Abraham didn't know, he had the faith, but he really didn't know how Yahweh was going to do it. And that's what we need to just consistently trust and believe.
Amen. You know, I'm reminded of that scripture that says that we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, if he was looking at everything that he saw, he was going to fall. But he had to have, like you say, that blind faith. And you know, Leah, I have a scripture that's on my heart, and I want to read it to everybody this evening. And I really believe that it goes with what we've been saying. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. And it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting Elohim, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." And you know, Elia, that's exactly how it is. His understanding is unsearchable. His ways are far beyond our ways, and his promises are everlasting. They are the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he has given us a promise, and we know that that promise is coming, came from him, then we need to believe it, and we need to stand on it, and we need to continue. And it says, even though we lose our faith sometimes, or sometimes we lose the power, we our flesh sometimes takes over. The scripture says he gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait, and that's where it is. You see, Abraham waited on Yahweh. Abraham had to wait a long time. He had to believe in the promises of Yahweh. And he probably at some point in his life also grew weary. Also, and we know he did. We know from the scriptures that there's many times where he did. But the Bible tells us, and I want to encourage you this evening, that those who wait on Yahweh renew their strength. And they raise up the wings, and it says they raise up the wings like eagles. They run and are not weary. They walk and do not faint. And you know, there it comes back again to walking. And I want to say this evening, we've spoken about this before. The scriptures continue to tell us that they walked with Yahweh. Never does it say that they ran. Never does it say they crawled. You know, there's a difference. You see, when we are self-confident, or we are confident in ourselves and in our own belief or in our own abilities, then we tend to run. We tend to run ahead because we want to get the prize and we want to get it quickly. But and then if we are not staying in the step with the Father, we tend to crawl and we tend to be like children. And that's what the Bible tells us. It says, don't be a child or a person that's tossed around by every wind of teaching and doctrine. We have to be people who are rooted in Messiah Yeshua, and that comes through the relationship that we have with Him. Abraham grew up, and his faith was secure. secure, and he was called a friend of Yahweh. And then he walked with Yahweh. He stayed in step with Yahweh throughout his life, and he continued to stay in step. And we see that with all the righteous people that we find in the word of Yahweh. They stay in step with Yahweh. They don't run ahead, and they don't stay crawling. They grow up and they continue. And this evening, I want to encourage you with that we are going to walk with Yahweh, and as we do that, we will not grow faint. But if we stay and we wait on him, and that's important. And right now, in this generation that we are alive in, the only thing that's going to see us through is waiting on Yahweh. But not only just waiting and waiting. We have to wait on Yahweh, and we have to be ready when he tells us to move. I think that's the difference. So many people just wait and wait and wait, and they never have the faith to move forward and to trust Yahweh by his word and what he tells us.
While we're waiting, we're doing something while Amen. We're waiting.
Amen.
You know what? It's been so good to be with you all on the coffee break. It has been such a great time together. We are going to go to a song for the evening. And then when we get back, we are going to pray together. Because I think that, you know what? We should pray together. And Amen. It's good just to have a general prayer and to just pray blessings over each other. We know that this week has been hard for some. This year has been tough for many. But we know that Abba Father is with us, and we can pray for each other and to have that strength one to another. So enjoy the song. This is Abba. And when we get back, we will pray together. What a great song. I just absolutely love that song. Let us just pray together. Abba Father, we just want to say thank you so much that you are an amazing God and an awesome King. Father, thank you that you reign supreme over all things. Thank you that this world and everybody in it belongs to you, Abba Father, and that right now you are just in control of our lives and, Father, of where we are headed. And, Father, I want to pray a blessing over everybody that is joining, that is listening tonight. Father, no matter where they are at in their lives, if they're standing on the top of a mountain overjoyed, Father, we rejoice in that. And we say thank you, Father, for the times and the wonderful moments in our lives where we are at the top of the mountain, Father, where we see the victory, where we are enjoying success, Father, in what we are doing and what, Father, you have blessed. Bless us with. Thank you for leading us to those places, Father, and those moments, Father, and we thank you and praise you for them. For those, Father, tonight who don't feel like they're on top of a mountain, but Father, who feel that they are in the valley, sometimes the valley of the shadow of death, the Father, you will truly lead and guide each one of them through, Father. You are the good shepherd, Father, and you are with us in everything that we do, Father. I pray that no matter where we find ourselves, that Father, you will be our comfort, Father, that you will be the God that protects us, it goes before us and behind us, Father. Thank you so much, Abba Father, that it's not about our past, Father. It's not about our present, but it truly is about the promises that you have made, Father, and the promises that we know that you will fulfill, Father, in our lives. So tonight I want to pray for fresh promises, Abba Father, for your people, fresh promises, Father, for individuals and communities, Father, for groups of people, Father, who fellowship together, fresh word, Father, for people no matter where they are around the world, Father. And we thank you for what you are doing in nations, Father, like Thailand, where you are bringing truth, where you are showing yourself to people. And we pray for that, Father. We pray that this will happen in greater magnitude around the world, Father. And we pray, Father, that we will see your hand move in such profound ways. Bless every family that is here tonight, Father, represented. And Father, may your glory and your goodness just be with us in everything that we do. We are so grateful for you, Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you. We give you all the praise tonight. And Yeshua, we pray this in your mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for joining us on the coffee break. We just want to remind you that the coffee break probably overseas, or not probably, but definitely overseas in different parts of the world changes. In South Africa, the time always stays the same. So those of you that have daylight savings, you're going to have to remember and just remind yourself that it's probably 1 hour before the time that you would normally join us. So that you don't miss it. Otherwise, you'll come and it will be finished and you won't be able to make it. But remember, you can always get the playback, and we'll put the playback up as soon as we can. But in the future, just remember that you'll have to come an hour earlier than you normally come as your guys' time changes. So again, thank you for joining us. And I pray that Yahweh will richly bless you this week. I'm looking forward to releasing a new teaching on the life of Noah, hopefully this week. And I pray that it will richly, richly bless you. And we look forward to that. But we also want to just bless you this evening. And as Aaliyah said, we pray that Yahweh will richly bless you and that you will continue to be people of his light and people of his truth. So thank you for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Shalom, shalom.
Sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs. if you are for me, who can be against me? Yeah. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.